verse number 22, the Bible says, "Now it came to pass on a certain day, and he went into the ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, Let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water, and they were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the rage of the water, and they ceased. And there was a calm. And he said unto them, Where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, What manner of man is this? For he has commanded even the winds and the waters, and they obey him. I want to talk to you on this subject this morning before we pray. The purpose of the storm. The purpose of the storm. Father, we thank you for today. Oh, Holy Spirit of God, I ask that you fall upon this place in a powerful way today. Holy Spirit, I ask that you flow through me to your people. And you go from person to person and from seat to seat and open every heart and every mind, young, old, rich, poor, of every kind and every gender. And I ask that you'd open our hearts and mind to your truth. Change our lives. Help us to walk in your power and your might as a result of what we hear from your word this morning. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Storms. It seems to me like we've had an awful lot of storms in our area lately. Amen. It seems like every time I turn around, there's another rain delay. Rain just keeps coming. Storm after storm. Windstorm after windstorm. Over the last few months, in the year 2013, we've had some very big storms. There was a great hailstorm in Tennessee this winter. There have been major tornadoes in Europe and the United States this year. Oklahoma has been devastated by tornadoes. There have been 562 tornadoes in the United States of America in the last 6 months, or the first 6 months of 2013. That's storms. Storms. May I say this to you? Storms are a part of living on this earth. You're not going to get away without it. There are tornadoes. There are thunderstorms. Lightning storms. High wind storms. Wind storms. Snow storms. Ice storms. Hurricanes. Tsunamis. And so on. Even the sun has solar storms. Storms are everywhere. And if you think you're going to go through life without having any storms, you're not right. Here we see the disciples. They're with Jesus Himself. Wouldn't you love just to walk a day in the shoes of the disciples, where you have Jesus with you right there in the flesh? You could look at Him, touch Him, ask Him anything. Wouldn't that be the most exciting thing in all the world, to just have one day in the disciples' shoes? And here they were with Jesus. He was in the boat. I love the fact that Jesus is not only all God, He's all man, because He got tired. Amen. And so it's good, and it helps me know that I can get tired. Amen. You can get tired. All of us can get tired. And God doesn't get upset with us when we get tired. And Jesus was on that boat with them, and He went to sleep. While He was sleeping, a storm came. The wind came. The gales came. Water was bellowing over the ship's side. They were so in peril, they thought they were going to sink. And they did the one thing that they should have done. Even with all their fear, they ran to Jesus and got Jesus. And Jesus stilled the storm. Outside the world, people go through storms in their lives. It may be financial storms. It may be health storms. It may be emotional storms. We like to call these storms trials, but the truth is they're storms. their lightning and wind and rain and snow and sleet and hail, and just sometimes don't know where you're going to go. It's like a tornadic wind that's coming upon you, and it seems like it's going to destroy all you have and all that's around you. And it may, but you'll be spared. The Lord has a purpose for allowing every trial, every tribulation, every storm, and every problem that comes to your life and mine. By the way, may I say this? And I love this. I've said this for many years. Storms come to pass. They come and then they pass. Storms don't stay. They come and they pass. Now, sometimes the results of the storm stay a while, but the storm comes and then the storm passes. Storms will pass. It doesn't matter what you're going through. Maybe you're going through a financial reversal, but may I say, the storm will pass. Maybe you're going through a health problem today. I don't know, but may I say this, the storm will pass. Maybe you're going through some emotional trial or tribulation. Maybe your family's giving you a hard time, or your child's going through a difficult time, but you're going through a trial or tribulation, a storm that's emotional and it's taking you up and down like a roller coaster. And but I may say, that storm will pass. It's not there to stay. It's going to pass on. It's going to keep going. It's going to fall away. And you are not going to be destroyed in the meantime unless you allow yourself to. Let's ask a question here this morning. What if the disciples didn't wake up Jesus? What if they thought, I can handle this myself? I have a feeling they would have lost their ship. They would have all been in the water. Jesus already looked at them and says, where's your faith? Oh, ye of little faith, in another portion of the Scripture. The truth is that many of us go through life thinking we can handle our own storms. I can't. I already know that. And the truth is you know it too. But that doesn't stop us from trying to do it anyway. It doesn't stop us from saying, hey, I know what I can do. But ladies and gentlemen, we can't do what we think we can do. Listen, I'm not the great creator. He is the great creator. I'm not the great physician. He is the great physician. He's the one that can heal all of our problems, take away all of our sorrows, all of our heartbreaks. He!
Yes.
Not me. Not you. Just Him. And the truth is, you need to look to Him. We need to look to Him. During the difficult hours, we find out what our faith really is. During those trials and tribulations, that's when we find out what our faith really is. I am absolutely amazed by America. I've been preaching now 35 years, I believe. Maybe longer, I don't know. About 35 years. My wife says I'm right. So good. 35 years. My wife's the fact checker. I got to check my facts with her. 35 years I've been preaching. And in 35 years I've seen Christianity go down, 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 down. I heard this morning on a news broadcast that there's a little group called the Junior Marines. And they're a military group. Kind of like the Boy Scouts of America. And the federal government supplies their finances for them. And they told this little old group of boys down in Louisiana that they're going to take away all their federal funding unless they quit praying at their meetings. Christianity's in trouble. Can I tell you why? It's not the government's fault. It's not even the world's fault. It isn't even the devil's fault. Can I tell you whose fault it is? It's a Christian's fault. Because we think we can handle everything ourselves and we forget we need to run to God.
Amen.
I can't do anything. He must do everything. I'm going to give you a word this morning. Write this word down. Humble. Humble. You'll find it over and over again in Scripture. Humble. Humble yourselves before God. Do you know what the word humble means? It doesn't mean to fall on your face and make yourself abased. It doesn't mean for you to beat yourself up. It doesn't mean for you to feel like you're not worthy of anything. The word humble means this. Are you ready? The scriptural meaning behind humble means to fully depend upon the Lord. It's the exact opposite of pride.
Pride is when we fully depend upon ourselves. The opposite of pride is humility. Humility means to fully depend upon God. And can I tell you what God wants for me? Can I tell you what God wants for you? God wants us to humble ourselves. If we'll humble ourselves, if our countrymen will humble themselves, God will heal our land, heal our nation. But ladies and gentlemen, we've got to humble ourselves. That means to go to God and fall on our face and realize I can do nothing and He has got to do it all. I have no power in myself. I have no strength in myself. I have no glory in myself. All I have is Jesus Christ.
I don't have anything else. You don't have anything else. We don't have any other way to go. We've got to go His way. And it's His power. And it's His might. For this is His creation. I'm His creation. I've been created to glorify Him. And the only way I can glorify Him is if I humble myself. That's what He's talking about. That's the difference. That's the power of God in your life. Is when you realize you've got to humble yourself. We can't do it on our own. We can only do it in His power. Jesus got to do what He's got to do. I can't do what God's got to do. I've been married for 33 years. Check with my fact checker. All right. Praise the Lord, I get to sleep in bed tonight. Not on the couch. 33 years we've been married. Not one time have I been able to be my wife. That's not my position. Not one time has my wife been able to be a husband. That's not her position. I've never been able to be a mama. I don't want to be a mama. No offense, I don't want to give birth. I don't want to go through 9 months of sickness, amen? I don't want to have my bottom lip pulled up over the top of my head in order to give birth and go through all that pain and suffering that a woman goes through to give birth. I don't want to go into the jaws of death. Ladies, you can have it. Amen, you can have it. Praise the Lord, I'm a man, and I'm glad to be a man. I'm proud to be a man. I'm a daddy. I'm not a mama. But thank God for mamas. And all the years we've had children, I've never been a mama. You know why? That's not my role. I can't make myself into something I'm not. I can't make myself into a wife. I can't make myself into a mama. I'm a daddy. And I need to be the very best daddy I can be. But when it comes to the mama, I need to support mama in her role as mama. When it comes to the role of wife, I need to support my wife in the role of the wife. Just as she needs to support me, but I gotta let her be the wife and I gotta let her be the mama. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, I'm a servant. I'm not God. I'm a servant. And as a servant, I must yield myself as a servant and not in the position of God. And many of us, while we're going through the trials and tribulations and the storms of life, we try to set ourselves up as God and don't let God be God. And we want His job. And we can't do His job. I can't. No matter what I do, I cannot transform myself into a woman. I could put on a wig. I'd be cute too. I could put on pantyhose, though I wouldn't want to do that. Yeah, I could. I could put on high heels. Why you ever want to walk in them things? I do not know. I could put on myself a skirt. Amen. I could put lipstick on my lips. I could put fake nails on my fingernails and paint them up. I could put on all the makeup I need to put up to fill in all the cracks and crevices that A's put in there. I still wouldn't be a woman. God created me as a man. And I'm glad to be a man. I can never be my wife. I can never be a woman. I can never be a mama. That's just not my role. And I cannot be God. And neither can you. I'm not sure why we try to be. But we do. I think we got that from our original father, the devil. Where he tried to be God. And so since our salvation, and even though God has saved us and sanctified us, we still want to take on the same position that our original father had. And why do we do that? Because we do not run with God enough. You know, you are what you hang around with.
Let's just face it. You hang around with a bunch of folks that swear, you're going to swear. You hang around with a bunch of folks that don't go to church, you're not going to go to church. You hang around with folks that criticize the Bible, you're going to end up to criticize the Bible. You run around with folks who smoke, you're going to end up to smoke. You run around with folks who drink liquor and get drunk on a regular basis, they're going to have a bottle of liquor in your hand before you know it, and you're going to be drunk too. I'd rather be drunk in the spirit than drunk in the flesh any day in the world. Amen. But you are what you hang around with. And if you don't hang around in the Word of God, and you don't hang around with God, and you don't hang around in prayer, and you don't have the Word of God in your heart, and if you don't walk with God and talk with God and spend your time with God and godly people, then you're not going to have God's power in your life when you need it, because you're going to try to do it on your own. I've got to have God's power. I've got to have God's strength. I've got to have His guidance. Yeah, storms are going to come. The Bible says it's in Him. Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 17. You don't have to turn there. I'll read that for you. If you want to turn there, you can. Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 17. Who is the image of the invisible God? Who is Jesus? The firstborn of every creature. Who is Jesus? By Him all things were created. Who's that? By Jesus. In heaven and in earth. Visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. Who's that? Jesus. And He is before all things, and by Him, Jesus, all. Small little three-letter word. A-L-L. All. All things consist. You know that storm that's going through your life? All. A-L-L. All things consist. Whatever you're going through today, whatever the burden is that you're carrying, whatever the heartache is that you're having, whatever the storm of life that's coming your way, may I say, it's from Him, and He allowed it to come in your life. He approved of it to be there, and we've got to go to Him, because through Him, all things consist, and that includes all the difficulties and problems that come in our life. And so I can go to Him, since He's the one that through all things consists, then through Him comes all the answers. The disciples realized that. The disciples realized that. Like the disciples, we have trials and tribulations in our lives, and storms rage all around us. They're tossing us to and fro. We can learn the awesome power of God is expressed by His answer in the time of storm. In Psalm chapter 89, in verse number 8, it says, O Lord God of hosts, Who is a strong Lord like Thee? Who is a strong Lord like Thee? Who is it? Is the devil strong like Him? No. Is mama strong like Him? No. Is daddy strong like Him? No. Is grandpa strong like Him? No. Is grandma strong like Him? No. Is my employer strong like Him? No. Who is strong like Him? No one. There's no one. There's no one strong like my God is strong. There's no one that can beat Him. There's no one that can overpower Him. There's none that's stronger than Him. You can take all the bombs of all and all the guns and all the missiles and aim them at the very heart of God and shoot them all off at one time that the whole world has, including every atom bomb that they have. You can launch it at the chest of God and hit it all at the same time. Boom! And the smoke clears, guess who's there? My God. There's none more powerful than my God. Not one. Not one. Not one. Not one. And do you think He can't handle our little problem?
Come on.
You think He can't handle all the issues that come into our life? You think He can't put our country back in the right direction? Do you think He can't cause us to do the right thing? You think He can't take away that burden that you carry and cause the storms of life to settle around you? Do you think He's not able to heal? Do you think He's not able to calm? Do you think He's not able to encourage? No! My God is stronger than all! There's none like my God. Oh Lord, God of hosts, who is strong like Thee? Or Thy faithfulness around about Thee? Thou rulest the raging sea. When the waves therefore rise, Thou stillest them. Wow. You ought to memorize that. You ought to hide that in your heart. And every time the rain starts to fall around you, every time that wind starts to whip up around you, every time you start to see a little bit of hail in the sky, Every time you see that snow starting to fall and they say, look out, it's going to be a major storm. You ought to run to your God. To our God. To my God. And realize He can still your storm. Do you think He doesn't know the balance in your checkbook? Let me ask you a question. Does He say He's got every hair on your head counted? I have no idea how many I have up there. It's not even begin to be important to count the ones I have up there. Some yet, you lose more in a day than you keep. Amen? Some folks, it's easy to count theirs. 1, 2, 3. There's others that if I start counting, I don't know that I'd ever stop. I'm not sure numbers, if I know the numbers, I go high enough to count every hair in someone's head. But He's got every hair of your head counted. Is that important to you, to count your hairs? Do you wake up in the morning? I know folks that wake up in the morning after they comb their hair, they count the hairs that are in the sink. 1, 2, 3, 4. But I don't ever count mine. That is so important to us. Yet to Him, you are so important. That He has counted every hair in your head. The long ones, the short ones. The black ones, the gray ones. The red ones, for some of you, the purple ones. The short ones, the long ones, the ones that broke off, the ones that have split ends. The ones that don't know if they'll ever stop splitting in. He got them all counted. And those aren't even important to us. Oh, we'll fix our hair. And you ought to. And you'll comb your hair. And you ought to. And you're going to look nice as you can. And you ought to look nice as you can every day. Because every day you represent the Lord.
Amen.
But may I say, He cares much more about you than what you ever thought about caring about yourself. And that's why the storms in your life are important to Him. That will run to Him. Let me give you some things about storms. Number one, everybody goes through storms. And all storms come without warning. And storms do come again. That's just number one. Everybody goes through storms. I go through storms. You go through storms. There's all sorts of storms that are out there. There are all sorts of things that are out there to stop you and me. We all go through storms. And they come on with a little warning. How would you like to visit those people in Oklahoma this year? They give a little warning a half hour before the storm shows up. You don't have time to do anything or go anywhere, and this big huge tornado comes ripping through your yard and destroys your whole home, and you're sitting in the bathtub and everything's falling down around you and you're hiding in that tub because that's the strongest thing in your home. And it comes through and it's gone and you didn't have a chance to even prepare for it. Those folks had no idea when they woke up that morning that storm was coming. They had no idea that wind would tear, destroy, and take away every physical thing that they owned. But when the storm came, you know what I heard more than anything people saying? Start praying. They started praying. Lord, please help me not to die in this thing. Lord, protect it. I hadn't heard one person's testimony yet that said, Lord, please protect my property. It was all, Lord, please protect my life. Some folks did die, but not many. Could have been much worse as far as casualty of life. But maybe it was just because those were the days that God had appointed for them to be up and for their life, and it was over, and that's what happened. And God took them on the day that He had appointed. Because it's appointed on the man once to die. That's an appointment. You ever notice that you can't hurry a baby long? You got 9 months. And how many days they choose to stay in there before they come out. We are just newly married. My wife is pregnant with our first child. I don't know how many times I got excited and rushed her to the hospital because I thought it was time. Oh, it's time! Then one day she called me at work. I was working. I was going to college and working. She said, I called the doctor. He said, it's time. Woo-hoo! I threw my tools up in the air. I ran to the car. I jumped in the car. I drove the 2 blocks to the house. I got out of the car, got everything into the car, got my wife in the car, went back in the house, and I'm running around the house. And she comes in and she said, what are you doing? I said, I'm looking for my keys. I can't find my keys. She said, the car's running. True story. Don't know what to do sometimes when things are coming on around us. Amen?
But you know, we got to the hospital and that baby didn't come when we thought she was going to come. Doctor said, go walk for a little while. We walked. And walked. And walked. Then they said, we're going to break her water. The flood came. And the flood was gone. And still no baby. You know when that baby came? When it was time, when it was appointed by God that that child be born to the very moment, to the very minute, to the very second. Why? Because God appointed that. Can I tell you something else? You don't have to worry about dying. God's got a day set up for you. There's an appointment. I don't know when it is. You don't know when it is. It's an appointed time. You can't rush it. You can't slow it down. Amen. It's coming when it's time to come. It's coming at the very hour that it's supposed to come. In the very moment, that minute that it's supposed to come. And the very second that God has appointed. That is when you'll take off for eternity. And hopefully by then you've taken Jesus as your Savior. And let Jesus save you. And heaven is your home. And you go spend eternity with Him rather than split hell wide open. Amen.
Amen.
The storms come. And they come without warning. And once that storm's gone by, guess what? Another storm will come by as well. The poor folks in Oklahoma, a week had gone by. They thought the tornadoes were over. And here comes another tornado just as bad, running the same path as the ones before. Can I tell you why? Storms come again. Storms. Storms. And they come. I don't know about you, but I've been up financially and I've been down financially. I've been up emotionally and I've been down emotionally. I've been up spiritually, woohoo, to heights unknown, and down in the depths of the deep blue sea. Can I tell you why? Storms come. Storms come. Second thing about storms I know. Some storms are great, and some storms are small. I don't know the size of the storm is going to be when the storm comes. All I know is it's a storm. The disciples had no idea how long the storm would have lasted. It could have gone on for a long time. It could have gone on for a short time. But storms come and storms go. And sometimes they last a long time, and sometimes they're just there for a moment, and then they're gone. It's amazing the lessons we do not remember after the storm is over. The storm comes, we learn a lesson, then a couple hours go by, a couple days go by, a couple weeks go by, a couple months go by, and boom! Here comes another storm, and we forgot everything we learned in the previous storm. Why? Because we forgot what God does. So some storms are great, and some storms are small. May I say, if you really will learn the lesson, when the great storms come, you can get through those with God's power much easier because you learn from the smaller storms.
Amen.
The third thing I've learned from storms, and we're not done yet, so you don't have to put your shoes on. There's always some form of fear and trepidation during the storm. There's always some kind of fear and trepidation in the storm. The disciples, they're not bad people. They're good people. They're walking with Jesus Christ. Every day, they wake up in the morning, and there's Jesus. They can go over and touch Him. Boy, I wish I could touch Him. They can go over and sit at His feet. Boy, how I would love just to go sit at the feet of my Savior. They can ask Him any kind of question they want to ask Him. They can explain anything. I love the fact that He comes and He talks to them in parables, and then they go, what does that mean? And then He tells them. Boy, I would love to have someone that has all the answers. Now, I know a lot of people that think they have all the answers. But I know one that has all the answers. And they got to walk with Him every day. As they closed their eyes at night, He was there. As they'd open them in the morning, He was there. As they'd fry up them eggs in the morning for breakfast, He was there. They cooked that bacon and the aroma of that bacon would flow through the house. Time to go eat. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's go. And they cooked that food. Oh, Jesus was there to eat it with them. It wasn't like, okay, let's make an appointment where we can go eat together. Because, amen? He was there every morning, every afternoon, and every night for 3 years. Everywhere they went, Jesus went. And everywhere Jesus went, they went. Oh my goodness, what a wonderful thing that would have been. And here they are in a ship with him. He led them to the ship. He's the one that said, let's go to the other side. He was the one that directed what was going on. I think he knew there was going to be a storm. But he wasn't worried about the storm because he knew how it would turn out. Amen? And he always knows how it turns out. And we just need to walk with him and recognize that he's there with us during the storm. And he'll calm the storm for us while we're in the middle of the storm. And it's okay to have fear as long as we turn to Jesus. It's okay to have trepidation. Oh, I don't know what to do. Run to Jesus. Run to Jesus. He's the answer. That's what the disciples did. They were afraid. They said, oh, I wonder, I know where to Jesus. Hey, you gotta wake up. Come on, Jesus. You gotta get up. Come on. There's a terrible. We're gonna die. Oh, no! I'm surely they didn't wake him up and go over to him and say,
oh, my God. Creator of all the heavens and the earth. Come on
now. They didn't have a praise and worship service before they got there either. Man, they were shaking in their boots. They ran to him. Screaming and hollering. Help! Years ago, I was going to Bible college and getting ready to get married to my wife and studying the scriptures, working in a church, and I was also driving a truck, one of the big old steak trucks, you know, straight trucks, we call them up here. And I'd drive from Ann Arbor, Michigan to Detroit, Michigan, to all the areas of that area, up there, Toledo, Ohio, and all this tri-state area there in the western part of the state of Ohio. And one day I was coming into downtown Detroit, and I had a huge load on the back of my truck. It was a box truck and it was all contained, but it must have been leaning a little bit to the left. Because it felt that way, and I couldn't swerve very quickly because I knew I'd flip the truck over. I'm just driving down the road 55 miles an hour, having a good time. Everything was nice and clear. There were cars going both directions. And I came around this big old curve, and all I saw in all four lanes on my side of the highway was nothing but red light from people slamming on their brakes. I went, uh-oh. There was no way I was going to stop that truck. I knew it. There was no way I could swerve because that thing was going to flip. And I was no way I was going to stop quick enough in order not to smash the next three cars in front of me. So I did what any red-blooded American would do who loves Jesus. Help! Help me, Jesus! And I took the wheel of that truck and I turned the wheel of that truck and I swerved across the lanes and I went slamming on the brakes, slid down the side of the highway about four cars in to where the last car was. Didn't hit anyone.